It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Yankee Center podcast, and we are here to talk baseball, in the words of A-Rod. Eddie, Tom, how you guys doing?
I'm well. Baseball, we're getting there. We're so close. We're 10 days away. Everything seems to be going well. Everyone looks good. We only have one major injury this spring training, as opposed to about six, which is nice. The usual six. Everything looks good. Bubble wrap everyone for the next 10 days, and let's get going. Everyone gets bubble wrap. Not losing anymore. Yeah. We already lost Britton. No more.
Yep, I agree. I can't complain because my expectations for injuries are usually pretty high. But you know what? Although Britton is a major contributor, it sucks to lose him for whatever, May, June, whatever, he'll be back. When you leave spring training, which I shouldn't say leave because we still have like a week left, but when you get this far in spring training and our entire starting lineup is still intact and ready for opening day, I can't complain at all. And our rotation
it's nice.
Besides Severino, but he wasn't going to be back anyway. So, you know what? This has been a good spring.
Yeah, we got some Eddie optimism. You love to hear it.
I'm going for it. Optimistic now.
Yeah. Wow. It's a hopeful time right now. Everyone isn't dead, which is great. It's nice to not have our best players sitting on the bench anymore. Let's avoid the injuries this year. Let's have a year in which we don't get injured. Let's have Aaron Judge play 150 games so he can get his contract. It would be nice. Just saying. Just a thought.
I like your thoughts. And really, I'm on the train right now of this rotation, honestly, might be the best in baseball this year. And I'm not just bullshitting. I mean it. Like, what's wrong with it right now?
Padres. Sorry.
Even so, I mean, you tell me ours can't compete with that?
It can compete. I don't think we're better.
It could be better.
I think we could be a top five rotation, though.
You're telling me if Kluber's looking good, Seve comes back and he's looking good, Tyone's doing his thing, we're not better, or at least not equal? In that scenario, I think it's a no-brainer.
I mean, if all the outcomes are the best possible outcome, then yes.
That's my point. I'm saying it's possible. If not that, it's going to happen.
If Garrett Cole is 2019 Garrett Cole, if Corey Kluber is 2018 Corey Kluber, if Tyon is 2018 Tyon, if Montgomery is 2018-2017 Monty, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, we'd be good.
You can call me optimistic, but I mean, Kluber looks freaking great.
He does look great.
Really good. And it's not just like, I'm not basing this off results. I'm just basing this on the pure stuff. And so far, I mean, it looks as good as I could have expected.
Sometimes you have to put on your scout glasses. All right. And everyone does look good. And you see, Tyon was hitting 95 in his last start, too.
He's getting
the velo back to go along with the nasty breaking balls. So, yeah. Eddie, what are your thoughts on the rotation?
Yeah. Even with those guys, the only concern is injuries, you know. I never really thought, like, okay, these guys have bad stuff. Like, I was never in favor of the against the signing because of their stuff. I mean, it's risky, but only because of injuries. So if these guys are healthy, I'm expecting good results from them. Cole, I don't even think we have to talk about because he's good.
No.
Unless we want to harp on those home runs that he's given up this spring, which I am disgusted in, then I think we should demote him from our opening day starter. But, who else?
Fifth starter. I mean,
yep.
I think it's fair to say that so far, as much as some people might not want to say it, Herman has earned it so far. I mean, he's he's been lights out.
Yes, we're just speaking specifically about on-field performance.
Yes,
he has not earned it, but yeah, on-field, he has.
Off-field, he drives me nuts.
If this guy does what he can do, I'm just going to work with the bullshit for now.
Yeah, it is what it is, and we just got to roll with it.
Yeah.
And yep, he's gonna be the fifth starter, and you know, he's pitching well. And yeah, everyone looks good. Davey looks good, but I think, you know, I've been on this train before. I think that, you know, having a guy like Davey spend a month down at the alternate site limiting his innings would limit them early.
Oh, yeah.
So they can pitch late just in case we need them.
And there's a very good chance that we will, because over the course of a season, some injuries are bound to happen. Because that's
absolutely.
I mean, the guys aren't going to pitch a full 32 games, 1-5. That's just not the way it works.
No.
Something will happen. Or even if on occasion you're just going to want a sixth starter in there just to fill the gap and limit some innings. Because guys like Tyone and Kluber, even if they're great, you're still going to have to limit their innings a bit after so much time off in their cases. So, yeah, I would say the depth this year is going to be extra important. And right now, I mean, the pitching depth overall, whether it be in the rotation or the bullpen, it looks phenomenal.
Yeah, just what it – like, you look at all the pitchers that we have, it's very nice to have. It's nice to have a lot of major league-ready prospects as opposed to, you know, prospects that you're dreaming on in the lower levels, because like that's been kind of our thing.
Yeah.
But like, it's nice to see like a guy like Nick Nelson emerge, you know, stuff like that happening. And
yeah.
Then you make a signing like Letge, who's like coming out of nowhere.
Give me Letge, man. That's my bread and butter right there.
He's got nasty stuff, and he's a lefty, which is pretty cool. So like,
yeah,
I mean, like, and you got kind of like a smaller signing and like Julius Chacin, who he's not great, but like he's a guy that can throw major league innings, which is what you need, especially after a pandemic shortened season.
No, you're right.
So like we're really set. I mean, I've made the list before. You were there when I was making the list, and I kept messing it up and forgetting names. I kept forgetting names, which is a good sign that we're good somewhere.
You know things are going well when you're really pumped about Michael King in spring training, which I am.
He's going to be a beast reliever.
What the hell? Like, where did this Michael King come from? Last year he was throwing like in that 93, 94 range mostly. Now this guy's hitting 97, 98. It's crazy.
Those few extra ticks are going to play so well in the bullpen.
Oh, they make a huge difference. I mean, they're looking at a guy that could be a high leverage reliever now. I mean, that's a big jump from what he was. He went from a swing man to long reliever to what he is now.
Eddie, how you feel?
Yeah, I was going to say we've seen guys that are like, you know, borderline, not even rotation guys turn into great bullpen guys. Chad Green is a fine example, who was
Louis
Chad
Sessa
Green's and Chad Green's a high velocity guy who was not throwing nearly as hard when he was in the rotation, but you move him to the bullpen and all of a sudden got a few ticks on that velocity and his stuff just plays much better. So
yeah, you can just let it rip in the bullpen.
Because you don't gotta obviously pace yourself for 5, 6, 7 innings if you're doing good. So
absolutely.
I'm glad he's found a role. I think he's definitely going to contribute too. So I'm liking this extra depth because we've had it, but you know what? I want to keep it going. Last year wasn't really 2019 level, you know.
Oh yeah, not at all.
But now the depth was part of the biggest issue. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, looking at this depth we have, I mean, you look at the bullpen with the injury of Zach Britton, I mean, it's actually important to have those pieces now because you look at the depth chart, you obviously got Chapman, Green, Wilson, O'Day at the top. But you go below that, it's going to be Sessa, I guess, is the number five reliever. And then I'm guessing we're going to have a eight-man bullpen. Yeah, eight-man bullpen. Yep. So you'd have another three spots to fill. And if I had to guess right now, we're looking at hopefully Loaisiga, Nelson, and Lickie. Because even Loaisiga's had a good spring, man. They've all looked really good.
Bastard gave up a homer yesterday and passed at him.
I can legit see any of those bottom three relievers evolving into high upside relievers. And you know me. I'm all about that upside. I mean,
We've reached the point where we're going to feel shitty about the players that we have to cut from the major league roster. Even with position players, we're probably going to lose Talkman. And, like, it's like, shit. I mean, like, that's a gold glove outfielder who has some pop. And it's like,
he's going to be traded very, very soon, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So hopefully we get something back for him. I think we'll get something good. It's pretty crazy.
I want a draft pick so bad.
get that comp A round pick.
Yo, dead ass. Give me that comp.
Let's get something.
Yeah.
I'm really into draft this year. I'm, like, really into it.
Can we get Kumar? Can we get Kumar?
Yeah, I was going to say Jack Leiter trade up or Kumar.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Jack Leiter throws a no-hitter yesterday. That was pretty nuts.
See, this is why I really want to be able to trade draft picks, just for the intrigue of what if someone trades that number one pick? Oh, man, that'd be nuts. Someone gets Jack Leiter. Yeah. Like, that'd be so fun.
Yeah. That'd be ridiculous.
I don't really understand why that's not a thing.
It'd be chaos.
Yeah,
the one thing that you kind of have to be concerned about is, like, a small market team not wanting to pay, like, the $8 million signing bonus. And, like,
yeah, that would definitely
and it's, like, just trade it to, like, a higher market team. So that might be – there should be some, like, kind of way to, like, avoid that. You know, NBA and NFL, they have salary caps. They're all on an even playing field in terms of how much they're spending. So, like, in the MLB, it's not a cap sport. As much as they want it to be, it's not a cap sport. And, like, there are teams that are spending $40 million on the payroll, and Garrett Cole's on the Yankees making 36. So, like, that's, like, the biggest thing that I can see being exploited is, like, you know, say, like, the Kansas City – let's say Tampa, because they're, like, the lowest of the low. You see Tampa gets the number one pick. And they have the ability to draft Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker, whoever they want. Well, they don't want to pay the $10 million bonus. Hey, the Dodgers are offering one of their top prospects, and they don't have you get a top prospect, and you don't have to pay $10 million bucks to the prospect that you draft. Yeah. So.
Please don't let the Dodgers get any more help.
No, that was just a theory. That was.
I know. It's only a theory, but it scared me nonetheless. Because I imagine Jack
the Angels. Look at the Angels, right? They got Joe Adell, right?
There you go. There you go.
So you trade.
I like
Joe
that
Adell.
Example.
That's a great one. Great pull there.
So like the Pirates, right? The Pirates have number one pick right now. So hey, we can trade our number one pick. We don't have to pay Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter, right? And we can get Joe Adell, and we can put him in our outfield right now. And then you make that trade. And maybe it's not even a terrible trade, but like it's just kind of avoiding paying prospects when they're drafted is kind of like the scary thing. Like teams trading back specifically because they don't want to pay like the $10 million bucks signing bonus. So that's my theory, but whatever.
Like that, though. That's a fun one.
See? Yeah, Kumar Rocker for Joe Adell.
That would be awesome, because the people don't care about prospects too much in baseball, just because, again, of the fact that it takes so long for so many of them to come up. But when you have that possibility of the draft and being able to trade picks, and in some cases, depending on what the team needs, they might even want some major league players coming back instead of prospects. It depends on the team situation, really. So those trades could get very, very interesting. So I'm all in on that. Anything to generate more interest in the sport.
Yeah, that would actually be really fun. I'm not going to lie. Jason Dominguez for Kumar Rocker. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God. Wait, would you do Jason Dominguez for Jack Leiter?
No.
I would have to think about it at the very least.
Nah, just like, you know, just like, we're good. We're good. If we were, like, desperate for, like, pitching, like pitching that is close to major league ready.
No, I get it. It's just Jack Leiter is such a beast.
He's, that guy's electric.
Dude, he's going to be so good.
He's like the definition of electric.
Dude, he literally has the most dominant stuff, the most perfect mechanics to avoid injury. I mean, and this guy is an analytics machine. I mean, what can you not like about him?
He's got that lineage, too.
If someone picks anyone over him, if the Pirates decide to pass on him, they're nuts.
Yeah, it's gotta be him or Kumar, and like
even Kumar.
Initially, I was like, I thought Kumar should go one, but like seeing Leiter and seeing like what you just described—the electric stuff, the mechanics, the lineage—you just got it's like the perfect package of like what an ace is going to be like. I mean, those mechanics for a 20-year-old, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I think his velocity's ticked up too, so he's getting stronger. It's like, fuck, this guy's gonna be a number one. You might want to pick him. So just don't make him throw two seamers, Pirates. Thank you. Did that to Garrett Cole.
So the Pirates are where pitchers go to die.
Yeah, Jameson Taillon coming here to reclimate his career.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why I was a little interested in Chris Archer when he for like a low risk deal because I liked his stuff with Tampa and then just fell off a cliff when he went to Pittsburgh. But now he's back in Tampa. So.
Yeah, I have no idea how he looked so far.
Yeah, I haven't heard about him at all.
More like Schittsburg, huh?
Wow.
Boom. Had to do it. Had to do it. Yep. Yeah, I'm very passionate about my hatred for the Pirates. Although I love that they gave us Jameson Taillon, I didn't appreciate them trading Cole to the Astros, though.
Well, I have a deep hatred for the Los Angeles Angels, so, you know.
Because they refuse to pay pitchers?
Yes, it pissed me off so much because they're not giving Trout anything to work with, and I love Trout so much. And in addition to that, it's just annoying with or without Trout because they literally know what they need. They need one thing, pitching, and they refuse to add almost any. It's honestly nuts.
Yeah, remember we were scared that they were going to get Cole, but like they didn't even offer like $300 million.
Like they don't go all in on any pitchers. Like, oh, they added Jose Quintana this offseason.
Yeah, they're doing like these 1-year deals, and it's just like, why didn't they go after like Odorizzi? Even
Odorizzi would have been perfect for them. He's not too expensive. He's high upside, and I honestly
and you got your division rival just signed him too.
Yeah, like that's a perfect move they could have made.
It's like the smallest possible deals they could have made, and you got Pujols' contract coming off the books after this year too. So
yeah, they're gonna have money to spend.
Exactly.
I think that they're gonna have to do something next offseason just because of the fact that there are this is gonna be perfect for them actually. A lot
of Syndergaard.
But there's gonna be a ton of older starting pitchers on the market that are only gonna get like 3 to 4 year deals, but they're all very like good starters too.
Mm, Max Scherzer.
Exactly.
He's a Los Angeles Angel.
And see, like that would be something they should look into. Even though it probably wouldn't happen, they should look into that because it's perfect for them.
Mm. Perfect. Yeah, just like there are a lot of pitchers. And it's just fucking sign a few. Jeez. And even relief pitchers get bulk up the bullpen as well. I mean, this is ridiculous. The offense doesn't need any more help. You got Fletcher, Rendon,
Trout.
You know, Justin Upton can swing the bat.
Otani, if he hits.
Otani rakes. You know, you're good.
And you got Joe Adell on the way, too.
Yeah. So it's just like, it pisses me off that, you know, you got, they kind of remind us of like the 1980s Yankees. where they have the bats but not the the pitching. Yeah. And they even have, you know, they're even a pretty good defensive team, too. I mean, Fletcher's a Gold Glover. Rendon picks it.
Yeah. Right?
And you got Jose Iglesias at shortstop.
That's a very good defensive infield.
Yeah. Their outfield could use work, but, like, whatever.
Whatever.
You get what I'm saying, though. It's just pissing. It's pissing me off. I mean, Mike Trout's, like, wasted. 10-war player, and he's not making the playoffs.
It's upsetting.
It is. It is.
But I guess we can talk about the Yankees lineup situation, even though not much has changed. But I guess the bigger topic of discussion there would have to be the bench situation, like we briefly touched on, because, like you said, certain guys are going to have to be left out. And I'm pretty confident in saying we're going to have a four-man bench that was in doubt at one point. But just going off the top of my head, I think Wade is going to make this team, honestly. I don't want it to, but I think but the thing is, if Dietrich had a really good spring, I think at the very least they have the conversation about it.
But yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah, he didn't give them much to really talk about, because now it's just like, if he's not hitting, I mean, I'd rather just have Wade's speed and his versatility.
Yep.
Yeah, that motherfucker can't hit, man. Tyler Wade. Yeah. I mean, like, I was on the Wade train last year, but, like, I'm off. I'm like, and he's not even too great of a defender either. He's fast, and, like, he's got good hands, but, like, he doesn't grade out necessarily well defensively. And it's just like, yes, he can play those positions and he won't hurt you, but it's just like the bat is so historically bad, like, that, like, you can't even, like, I miss Ronald Torres sometimes.
Oh, I swear to God, literally just yesterday I was watching his home runs.
Ronald Torres was not
a legend.
He was not an analytics darling at all. But, like, when he came up to the plate, at least he put the bat on the ball. And, like, Tyler Wade can't do that. And, like, Torres was not a bad defender at all. He did his thing. He played a good infield. I just, like, if you gave Tyler Wade Ronald Torres's contact ability, he would be the greatest utility infielder in baseball. Wade cannot hit the baseball, and it's just like, that's the thing that he should be doing, because he's a speed player, and it's like, if he's consistently putting the bat on the ball. And he's got a little bit of pop. He's got more pop than Torres, I'll tell you that.
Dude, if Tyler Wade bats 250, I freaking take it at this point, given how good his defense and speed is.
Can we just get, like, an OPS that starts with, like, 7, please?
I would take that, glad. If it's literally 700, I take that.
I would take that right now.
I would legitimately be thrilled.
Because, like, he set the bar so low for his offense.
Exactly.
Jesus.
Valuable. It really is. I mean, he's a Gold Glove defender at short, second base, and he can handle third base if you really need him there from time to time. I mean, he's got the versatility.
Yeah, they just put DJ there at third usually, but like, if you needed him
in a pinch, he can handle it.
Yeah, that's not an issue. It's just, he can't hit the baseball, man. It's just ridiculous. I've never seen anyone just not be able to hit a baseball like that. It's like he's a pitcher hitting. He is literally like a pitcher hitting, historically. It is, and that's what we have to deal with as a utility infielder. Hopefully we can, like, draft, like, a Swiss Army knife or some shit and draft.
Yeah. You know,
Anthony Volpe is the Yankees' 10-year utility infielder.
I really hope the Yankees go for a nice utility infielder after this year, assuming that Wade doesn't randomly become good, because
it would be nice if he did.
I would love it. I really have wanted a good utility infielder for a while on the bench.
I miss Torres, man. Ramiro Pena. Miss you, baby.
And he was clutch, too.
Yeah, just Toe was awesome. I miss Toe. Joe Girardi fucking goes, Joe Girardi just, like, signed all of, like, his favorite Yankees that were available to him. It's kind of funny. I'm surprised that he didn't sign Brett Gardner or some shit to play center field.
I at least thought about that possibility when we were in doubt about signing him. Like, what if Joe Girard swoops in there? Like, that would suck.
Like he's got Torres, he had Neil Walker, even though Neil Walker didn't play with him. But, like, he's, like, all the former Yankees, McCutcheon, you know, the guy who we thought would be a Yankee, Bryce Harper. Oof. He did not become a Yankee. Didi, obviously, you know, Torres, like we mentioned, just ridiculous. And he brought in, like, Brian Mitchell and David
and they
Robertson.
They had David Robertson, who still hasn't signed, actually.
I think that means something. I think that means he's probably cooked. Speaking of cooked, hi, Dallin. How you doing?
Oh, wow. Jeez. Ow.
Yeah, that was a shot. He's done. His baseball career is done.
I feel bad.
It's ridiculous, man. I thought the velocity would come back, but it went backwards in his last appearance. Like, he was, like, at 92. Now it's at, like, 91.6. It's like, oh, my God.
He is actually, when he was with the Yankees, he was one of the most dominant relievers I've seen in my life. I mean, he has the Yankees reliever strikeout record still, I'm pretty sure, unless someone else beat him, but I doubt it.
Yeah, single season. But
single season, yes.
He just, like, you couldn't hit him. The curveball, fastball combination was just, you know, you're not hitting it. And from the, in his size, too, being like 6'8".
Oh, 6'8", yeah.
He could not field his position to save his life.
Nope, but I have never seen better strikeout stuff in my life.
Ever. He is the least athletic pitcher I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's so weird that most pitchers just don't know how to throw a baseball to first or second base.
It's because you're so used to throwing it as hard as you can, and like, but then you get a ball hit back to you. You got a guy running to first, and it's just like you have to like soft toss it to first. Really, just underhand it or something. I don't know.
Please, just don't go overhand and throw it into the stands. That's not what I need.
Dallin legitimately, when a ball was hit to him, like, he, like,
did, it's like when a ball was hit to Glaber last year. Cringe.
Like, it just, like, what the hell? CeCe couldn't feel his position to save his life either.
No, I love the big man, but he was not a good fielder.
That dude could not throw a baseball to first base if you paid him $1 billion.
I love to bum on CC.
Yeah, I remember you got mad at, who did he get mad at, JBG? JBJ? For,
yeah.
He
said, he had an irrational.
He gets mad at everyone.
Yeah.
I saw that interview with him.
He said he just hated him just to hate him.
Yeah. Some athletes just like have to create motivation in their head. Michael Jordan documentary. You know, he used to just come up with shit just to...
That was awesome.
It is what it is, but, like, it is actually just hilarious that he decided to hate a guy just because he needed a little motivation.
Well, you know what? Do what you gotta do to win. I mean, I'll take it. Whoever wins us games.
We like CeCe.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Tommy can do the same low-key, but not tell anybody.
I think Tommy Canley gets all the motivation he needs just from, like, himself. Just his own energy.
Red Bull.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna fucking throw a fucking 98-mile-an-hour fastball right by this guy. He just fucking chugs in.
And he comes out of nowhere with that Bugs Bunny changeup.
And he actually does it. And he was a beast, Tommy Canley. Let's hope his career isn't over after his.
He's one of my favorites, man. I'm so sad he didn't come back. I wish him the best with LA, though.
It's cool that he went to the Dodgers, because, like, that means, they kind of believe in him. Oh!
I hope he wins it all.
You know who we didn't even mention as one of the depth guys? Adam Warren.
I think the Yankees like him a lot, but he already got optioned.
Yeah, he's not.
It's not good.
He's not making
it's
it.
It's not great.
No, he's not ready to be a major league pitcher just yet, just because, like, he hasn't thrown a baseball. I mean, he hasn't pitched to major league hitters in a long time, so.
I'm sticking with my picks. I'm sticking with Weisiger guaranteed for me.
Nelson,
they love Nelson, so I'd be shocked if he doesn't make it. And Lucky, he just straight up has earned it all spring, and it's not like it's luck. I mean, if you look at the analytics, the spin rates, it's a huge change from what he was. Like, this is a real change, and Aaron Boone even said, this is a guy they've been looking at for years.
Gerrit Cole gave him his shit.
Yeah, he gave him Gerrit's stuff.
Yeah, Garrett's sticky stuff. Well, sticky that didn't stuff. Sound right.
Ooh, wow. Ooh.
Yep.
I didn't.
Walked right in. I didn't just walk into that one. I ran into that one.
Yeah, you ran face first there. That
I
was.
I just hit a brick wall, nose first. Ouch. Yeah. But yes, Pine Tar. The Angels clubhouse guy has it. So, it's on him. But yeah.
By the way, guys, I found out about Lucas. I had to find out. It's pronounced Licky, actually.
Licky.
Yeah, Licky. Licky.
Oh, okay. Licky. I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember because I saw it on Twitter the other day, but then I lost it, and I didn't want to say it wrong. So
did you just, Google how to pronounce it?
No, I saw it on Twitter. I forget who tweeted it.
Licky. I'm usually good with names, but this one is tough for me. This one,
strikeout rates are so nuts, man.
He doesn't even throw necessarily hard, if I remember.
No, he's not a hard thrower. He just has crazy good off speed. Spin rates, they're all in that 2,500, 2,600 range.
Those balls are just ridiculous. It's he reminds me of a pitcher. I can't remember his name, though. But,
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody, too, but I don't tip my tongue. Oh, this is going to drive me nuts now. Because he, as a lefty, he has it comes very from the side and across his body the way he throws. It's a certain pitcher. I can't think of it though.
It's I feel like this pitcher pitched for the Yankees. It's not Andrew Miller.
No, it's not a Yankee pitcher. I don't think. Although he has a tiny bit of Miller in his delivery, with the arm going across, but not him though.
Nobody ever goes full Miller.
Miller was so good.
Yeah, and then Terry Francona just killed his arm.
Yeah, he kind of abused him. It was not a pretty sight.
Yep. That's baseball season, but Oliver Perez maybe? Nah. I'm just thinking of lefty relievers now. I can't. Somebody stop me. Somebody stop me.
Tom, stop.
All right. Clint's okay.
Yep.
Just wanted to throw that out there just because, I needed good news in my life, you know? So, fucking Clint's out of the lineup the second day in a row. Tom's a little worried.
A little worried.
I'm like, is it because they're away? Was he not? Oh, he's good. And then you find out he's dealing with something minor. And it's what does that mean? What does that mean? And it was just And then he tweeted out that he's fine. And that's when...
Yeah, Boone said he was just feeling sluggish, that's all.
Yeah, and it's not even an injury. He's just tired. And then spring training, I can understand that. Long drives in Florida aren't necessarily fun, from what I've gathered. Apparently, it takes forever to get places. So, whatever. Clint's okay. He's playing right field today, which is interesting. I do have to ask you this. Do you like the fact that he's playing two positions right now? He's playing left field and right field? Because I kind of wanted him to focus on left field.
I get what you mean. I think it's actually a vote of confidence from the Yankees because they feel he can handle left field so well already that they're trying to try him out at different spots for the sake of versatility because they're going to want to probably – I don't think it's just going to be a platoon with him and Gardner, to clarify. I don't think it's just going to be Gardner filling in for Clint sometimes. I can see Gardner filling in for Hicks on occasion, sometimes for Judge.
Absolutely.
That's my point.
Right,
that's why I think they're trying him in both spots as opposed to one.
Yeah, because when Judge needs a day off, who's playing right field and who's playing left field is one of Gardner's playing left field and one of Gardner Frazier's playing right field. And Clint's got the better arm, so you kind of... But Gardner is instinctually better.
Maybe we got Stanton in left field, guys.
Oh, we did. We got to get into that too. Giancarlo gonna try to play some outfield eventually, but the Yankees won't let him this spring training.
Well, and don't even take a chance in spring.
I don't even want
a chance in an injury.
I kind of want him to play one game during spring in the outfield just because he hasn't done it in a long time.
No, right.
So, but what, you're going to throw him out there in a regular season game? It better be a blowout or some shit.
He wasn't even a bad defender, to be honest. But,
no, he's a very good defender. It was
he's very good.
Injuries.
He was a Gold Glove finalist in his MVP year. He's a good defender. It's just like he keeps fucking hurting himself.
Right.
Keeps getting hurt. So
I mean, the thing was his injury last year wasn't even fielding. It was advancing to second on a.
It's more about the risk of it.
Yeah, it's just the soft tissue stuff. When he moves, there's chance of injury.
I hope that like we kind of hammered out most of those issues with the more instead of more. Muscle, more flexibility.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, they clearly made a big effort in the offseason to fix that. Like, it's not like they didn't make any changes. Like, the changes were there. In Cressy, we do trust. Because so far, it's all good.
I see a noticeable difference, which I like. Yes, I like to see.
I must say, if the injuries are fixed, right, and Judge and Stanton play full seasons,
MLB is fucked.
No, put McCarr. Eric Cressy in Monument Park. Thank you.
If
George Steinbrenner can get a plaque, Eric Cressy can get a plaque. That's what I'm saying. He is going to be that important to the Yankees. Yeah. In Cressy, we trust. Yeah. You know, maybe if Eric Cressy came in a little earlier, maybe Eric Holtz wouldn't have had that slap tear that ripped off his bicep tendon.
That man is a legend.
Never pitch again?
Yeah, right.
Boom. We had to make that throwback reference. I mean, why not? Yes Network, it has had some commercials that have stuck with us for a long time. Like,
ew,
that
depressing... when are we going to get this year?
Yeah, exactly. Remember that depressing commercial about that movie that was sponsored by the hospital?
And you just see the papers?
Yes, and like... and the girl in that is actually a huge actress now. That was Ana de Armas.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of funny. She dated Ben Affleck. Yeah. I don't know why I threw that out there.
No, I mean, you did. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And I love the commercials. They're spicing up, you know. And
they do spice it up.
It's always got to be the same one.
What did we get last
year?
That's what
I'm trying to think of right now. If there was
I missed the short little Yankees fake commercials. Those were always fun.
Oh, yeah.
I am still forever going to miss Foul Territory with Mark Teixeira.
Oh, that was legendary.
It's a tragedy. It's gone.
Or the Baby Bombers ones when Gary and Judge were coming up. That was actually really fun.
Those were fun phases.
Those were fun times. And like, remember last year with the Tanaka Ready to Go?
Tanaka's always funny in everything he does.
Yeah, we miss that guy so much. He's well missed, but, you know, love you, buddy.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yeah. I know. Is there anything else you want to touch on? I mean, because right now we're kind of just waiting on these competitions to wrap up. But
yes.
Yeah.
I do have things to say.
Ooh, I like when you have things to say.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, we didn't really get into Aaron Hicks is now our third guy, and like. Boone made some comments today.
I have comments on this, actually.
Yes. Gary's going to catch Cole on opening day.
Not surprised.
He expects Garrett Cole to throw 200 innings, which is very nice because we could use that. And after the pandemic season, nobody really knew, like, how far our pitchers can go or anyone's pitchers can go. How do you go from throwing 73 innings to throwing 200 innings? We're about to find out.
Garrett Cole is one of the few pitchers in baseball this year that I expect to go 200 innings. Like, there won't be many in general, but he will be one of those guys. But
I think Scherzer's going to do it, too.
Yeah, you know, he can do it. There's a few select guys that have done it so many times that you just expect it out of them. Like, they have the body of work to do it, but I'm actually very interested in Hicks batting third because I know a lot of people are against it. I am actually not, oddly enough, for a couple reasons.
Oh, I disagree.
I like it for a couple reasons now. Originally, I didn't. I did not. Now I'm kind of in on it for a few reasons. Well, A, I just like DJ batting first. I'm a believer, and if it's not broken, don't fix it. I would not move.
That's my exact reason, though.
It's a big thing for me. Like, he's been there literally his entire time as a Yankee. I wouldn't mess with that. I just wouldn't mess with it.
Bastards.
And looking at Hicks.
He's exactly right.
No, looking at Hicks. I'm ready to go. I am going to go to war.
You know.
Right now.
Stop it. With Hicks, I think the really great thing is I've heard a couple people say this, and I totally agree. Wrong. The guy never hits into double plays, ever. And that's because he either walks or he hits a fly ball usually. He rarely hits ground balls. That guy is not going to ground out in the double plays. So if you get, like, DJ on and, let's say, Judge strikes out, you're not going to have someone grounding into a double play to end the inning. You're going to have Hicks in, I would say, 40% of the time, at least almost, walking, quite literally, walking or getting a hit. And that's a big thing because now you're going to have two guys on in that scenario for Stanton and Voit behind them, and that could be huge. So I think that you're going to have better opportunities with Hicks batting third, and this is a bonus, not something I'm all in on, but it's nice having a lefty bat third. You don't need it, but it's nice to have there. So I think that makes more sense. And again, mm-hmm. I'm very paranoid with DJ. Don't move him. Just leave him where he is, please.
Exactly.
So in 2019, DJ LeMahieu grounded into 14 double plays.
Okay.
Last year, DJ LeMahieu grounded into 3 in 50 games. So he played 50 out of the 60 games. Now, I'm looking up Aaron Hicks.
May I note something?
Yes. Go for it.
He bats leadoff, so that does kind of give him a little bit of an advantage.
That is correct. That is correct. I will factor that in.
Yes.
Aaron Hicks, 59 games in 2019, only grounded into 2. 2018, in his first ever full season, he only grounded into 1. So I actually can give credence to that. With that being said, 14 plus 3, 17, math, Tom, right? So that's about out of 500 at-bats, 600 at-bats, something around there. Mm-hmm. You're really only getting that 17 times. So is the double play factor that big of a difference to where you don't have Hicks lead off and DJ bang third? Because, like, if you look at their specialties, let's move off of the double play factor.
Okay.
Aaron Hicks specializes in walking. DJ specializes in hitting. Now, that's not to say Aaron Hicks can't swing the bat. He can. He's had a 27 home run season.
And that's another point I will get to after.
He does have pop. He can hit. When he swings the bat, he can hit. It's very rare that he does. Which is actually his strength. So you gotta give him that. DJ LeMahieu, his specialty is like hitting singles, and he can hit doubles, he can hit homers. He's mostly a singles guy, but, whatever. So do you want Aaron Hicks walking, Judge walking, DJ single, or do you want DJ single, Judge walk, Hicks not hitting into a double play, either a walk, strikeout, single, a walk, strikeout, or homer? He's a three true outcomes guy, and then you got Stanton behind him. So it's not... I don't think there's necessarily a wrong way to go. There's also a third way where you go DJ, Judge, Voit, Stanton, Hicks batting fifth. But I don't know if that batting fifth specializes Hicks strengths. It specializes Voit strengths. I think having a guy with that much power hitting fifth where there's not much to lose.
And Voit, he was also walking less in 2020. He said he's trying to improve on that, but it's a factor to consider at least. Yeah. So
I think they pitched to him more straightforward.
I'll say this. If they did go with Hicks first and DJ third, hypothetically, I wouldn't have been mad about it at all. I would have been cool, just as cool almost.
Yeah.
It's more like, again, just like
don't, with don't, Eddie, don't mess I don't with like something that isn't it. Broken.
But also with Hicks, I will say, I have more belief in his power than DJ's, which is also a factor. I think there's more pop there, despite a lost year for Hicks, of course, and
not Hicks a lost can, year, Hicks can really get into some.
Yeah, it's
some
more. Balls, of the, yeah. It was a lost year for his power numbers because of Tommy John, just like we saw with Didi a couple years ago. Same exact thing. So I'm gonna say that in a regular season where Hicks is healthy, he's at least 25 home runs. A full year, I think that's Hicks, and the numbers back that up in my opinion, because you go back to But even go back to 2017, 18 home runs in 88 games. 2018, he had 27 and 137. 2019, over 59 games, he had 12 home runs. Like, those all add up to 25 homer seasons at least in a full year. So
I agree.
I think that is who Aaron Hicks is, as long as he's healthy. DJ, he could be that. I mean, he's hit that many home runs. It's just, he's not a guy that I look at and say he's definitely a lock for 25 plus. Like, he might not even hit 20, and that's okay. Like, you don't need him to. It's more about,
and a potential dejuiced ball too.
Yeah, exactly. It's a factor. Like, I don't see that affecting Hicks much, because he's not a guy that he needs the porch. Like, when he gets into a ball, he gets into a baseball. DJ does have some port shots, so I think that that's another factor to consider for why I think Hicks might work better third.
Yeah, it's not, line of construction is fun to talk about.
Yeah, but like, it's not a
huge, it doesn't deal. Really mean too much at all, especially when you have nine guys that all rake.
Exactly. So I mean, like, Gary Sanchez is your worst hitter going into the year. You can work with that. Like, that's something nice to work with.
Yeah. And he's not even technically the worst hitter. Just like, I mean, it's just like he's the guy that
he might
he's
be
the guy that has like the lowest floor. But like, he's got a super high
ceiling. It's not him. It's Clint. And that's, yeah, that's
and awesome. We like Clint. And
we like Clint.
Clint has played exactly 162 games and he's got an OPS over 8. So that's bang. And like, I believe in his last 2 years, 2019 and 2020, he's got like an 850 OPS, which is very good. Very good, Clint. Do that this year, man.
Do that.
Can you imagine our nine hitter having an 850 OPS?
I think Clint is a clear 800 plus OPS guy, no doubt there. And really, the thing that you really love to see with him last year, the patience got so much better. I mean, he used to be so aggressive, and he still is, but in a good way. Like, he attacks his pitch when he gets it, but he's not swinging at garbage at all. He is waiting for his pitch, and he will take the walk now.
He's kind of a little like Hicks.
I was going to say, actually, it's what separates him from being Andujar. Because that's what I'm saying. Like, they were, Andujar and Clint are both super aggressive guys. The difference is Andujar will not take a walk ever. Yeah. Clint has learned to take a walk consistently now, which he didn't have in his back pocket before. Now he does. And that's huge for him.
Yeah, Clint's OBP was like 80 points higher than it was in 2019, which is ridiculous. It's cool, but I really do think it's legit. I think he just clicked. I think it's clicked where it's like, this is how you approach an at bat in the major leagues. This is how you get your pitch, and if you don't get your pitch, don't swing at it. Take your walks. And, like, you bring the OBP with, you know, the 25-plus home run power that he has, you're talking about. And, like, left field isn't exactly a loaded position. And, like, if his defense is legit, you're talking about a guy that could push for being one of the top left fielders in baseball very soon. And he's physically mature now. He's 26, so it's not like – so it's like it can click really fast for him.
Yeah, I mean, the ceiling's extremely high, and honestly, I'm at the point where I, going into the season, expecting a 800-plus OPS, 25-plus homers, and I can very easily see it exceeding both of those because his ceiling is just that high. I mean, I'll obviously take less than higher than that because, duh, I'm not going to – this guy might be our number 8, number 9 hitter, so.
Yeah, he's got a bad night.
Yeah, it's limited pressure on Clint Frazier going in.
There is no pressure.
Yes, and
just catch the fly balls.
So I'm not really worried about him. I'm not worried about the lineup. I'm really not worried about anything with this Yankees team at the moment.
I'm not even worried about Gary anymore.
No, like, I mean, like, I'm not going to say I'm not worried about him at all. Defensively, I'm not too worried about him, really.
Defensively, he's looked really good.
Yeah, offensively, I want to see more. I need to see more of him still. It's spring training. Anyone could have a great spring training. Tyler Wade
exactly.
had great spring trainings. I mean, it's, to me, it's very like, it's nice to see.
Are you
see.
Saying Tyler Wade isn't a great player?
Yes. And if we're being honest, when it comes to spring training, when guys do good, it's nice. And when guys do bad, you crucify them. That's the reality of spring training. It's when you take the good results as a plus, you take the bad results as get the hell off my team.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm
Wait, let me get this one, and then you go, Eddie. All right. Spring training is not equal for every player. Like Aaron Judge could strike out every at bat, wouldn't give a shit. Right?
It's circumstantial.
But if Gary Sanchez struck out every at bat, oh my God, what happened to Gary?
Sky's falling.
2020 might be the real Gary. Oh my God, sky's falling. We might need to cut him soon. Now, Eddie, fire away, buddy.
Yeah, my thing is like, okay, basically, if we're gonna be like, okay, bad spring training for a guy is, like a big deal. Like Cole, like I'm not gonna overreact because he had a huge season. But the thing is, with a guy like Gary who had a bad 2020, now a spring training is gonna change your opinion. You know, it's like, okay, he was bad last year, but he's having a good spring. Now he's good all of a sudden. But hey, like Cole was good last year, now he's bad. Like it's no worry. Like it's gotta be the same, you know, for like both ways. Uh-huh. Like I'm not gonna value Cole's spring training performance because I think he's a slow starter and frankly I have no reason to worry about him at all. The same way that I'm gonna say, okay, Gary, prove me right and prove me wrong in the regular season. Not now.
We like Gary.
I do like him, but I would like some regular season.
The New York Post does not like Gary. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Just had to fire them. Boy, they have been having some headlines that have, you know, Giancarlo Stanton took two at-bats, struck out both times. First two at-bats of the spring, strikes out both times. Giancarlo Stanton, not worried about slump.
Why? I am amazed by the New York Post, and I will say, the parody account has been getting me all week.
Yeah, it's become believable because of
exactly
their actual journalism, which is like, what? It's just like, and people, I think it's working. It's getting the clicks, man. It's got to be working. But like, come on. It's got ridiculous. It's a bunch of shit. I like baseball.
I enjoy baseball as well. And I just want to say, because we didn't talk about it too much, with Gary definitely catching Cole on opening day, I think that's really great because I don't want to have a personal catcher if we don't have to, obviously. I mean,
yeah.
you go into the season hoping Gary could be Cole's guy. And in the case of Higgy, he's going to get some playing time, of course. So really, you're going to pair him with probably certain pitchers because that's the way it works more often than not. You pair your backup catcher with one or two pitchers that you know he works with pretty well, and you sporadically have him catch both every now and then. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way you do it. So could Cole still be that guy for Higgy still, where every now and then he catches him just because you know they work well together? Yeah, I could say that's a possibility just because of the fact that you go into that game pretty confident in the relationship between those two. So it'll be interesting because the Yankees have quite a few new pitchers going into the year. So there's going to be some new dynamics coming in, new relationships. And Sanchez was saying himself, he's been trying to catch Darren O'Day as much as possible because of how different his style of pitching compared to everybody else.
Yeah, I agree. You take a look at like Jose Molina in the playoffs against in the playoffs with Burnett, because they just work well together. And like, yep. But like, you do want to see Gary and Cole work well together, because say Gary does have a big bounce back year, right? You want him in the playoffs. You want him to play in the playoffs. And you don't want to take Gary's bat out of the lineup if he's hot in the playoffs. I mean, we like Higgy, but I mean, like, Gary's bat, the potential for Gary's bat is so much higher than, you know, Higgy's. Although Higgy's got some pop. I will give Higgy that. But it's just like, they're two separate, they're on two different levels when both are, you know, at their peak. So, you know, keep Gary's bat in the lineup. You got to have this relationship work, you know. So let's pray to God that it works, because like game one of the playoffs when Cole's taking a start against like Tampa or Minnesota, you're going to want Gary in that lineup, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. Is there anything else?
I just want to hear Eddie talk.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I think we got everything. I'm happy.
No.
This is not a negative show.
No, we're actually feeling good. We do have one last thing. Glaber's defense is looking really well.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty smooth so far. I mean, all good signs so far. He's handling the routine plays, and he hasn't made any like spectacular plays, but he's made some plays that require a little more.
Hoke actually said he made a really nice play, barehanded play a few days ago.
I've seen some plays where, like, they clearly require a little more effort, like they're solid plays. But I haven't seen him make like the crazy play yet. But I don't need that anyway. I mean, I just need him to make the routine.
If he's just a league average shortstop.
That was the issue. Yeah. I mean, that was the issue last year. He couldn't make the basic plays consistently, and that's a problem.
A league average shortstop who can hit 30-plus home runs is very hard to find.
Okay. If he's a league average defensive shortstop and he's hitting the way he can hit, and keep in mind, I don't think we've seen his ceiling offensively, including his 2019 season. He can be better than that easily. And if that's the case, I would probably take him over Lindor. Crucify me, but he's literally Lindor's best offensive season is equal to Glaber's 2019 at best.
Oh,
it's true. If you look at the numbers, they're like right in line with each other.
You know, it's going to be fun to watch. We're going to have, you know, Andy Martino said that we love Lindor, which I think he's just trying to piss Mets fans off.
No, that's bull. We're not even going to go.
We're not going
to at all.
We're not.
But come on. No, Cashman won't even call his agent.
We're not going to sign Lindor. And like we have to squash that. Just because, like, it's just so ridiculous. Because
we have our team.
Aaron Judge plays 150 games this year, plays like Aaron Judge. You're going to sign Aaron Judge, right? And in a few years, if Gleyber Torres is the player that we think Gleyber Torres is, we're going to sign him. And unless Hal wants to have a $300 million payroll, which would be nice. I mean, like, it's not a cap sport. It would be nice. I mean, fuck it. Why not?
But with that in mind, you have nowhere to put him. It's a waste of money. Like, there's better places to spend that money.
Unless you want him to trade Boyd and put DJ at first, Gleyber at second, Lindor at short.
Probably wouldn't even do that because I like Voit a lot. And the guy just led MLB in home runs. I mean, to me, you'd be foolish to trade him unless he has he'd have to have a 2020 Gary Sanchez season for me to get rid of him.
I would not trade Gio. I would not trade his peripherals are so good.
And the guy hits the ball hard.
No, he's here. He's here until he's a free agent.
Yeah. I mean, the defensive skills are godly, regardless of what the metrics say. I don't care. And
they're not even bad metrics either.
No, he's grades out as probably a little above average defender now, but he used to be below average, which is nuts according to the metrics. That just shows you how flawed they were, and they still are. I think he's better than just above average.
He stays.
Bottom line.
As long as he's around average defensively with that bat, it's just like, my God, we got ourselves a good one here.
Yeah, for sure, man. I guess we can call it there, all right? This has been great as always, and this has been another awesome episode of the Yankee Center Podcast. I will see you, everybody.
Peace. Eddie says bye, too.